Will you pray with me? Lord, may the words of my mouth and may the meditation of all our hearts and minds be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I know that there are many of you who may have seen in last week's bulletin or through the email or when you heard today, oh my goodness, for stewardship, we're starting with the widow's mite. She's going to talk about having to give everything that we have and all the sacrifice. Well, I will tell you, I'm going to preach a little differently than I have before on the widow's mite. So please have some patience and bear with me and have an open heart and mind for this. But I begin this stewardship season and this World Communion Sunday with the story of a young boy who obviously grew up in a time well before me. How do I know that it's a time well before me? Because on a warm summer day, what was he doing but at 10 years old was just wandering the town by himself? Get what I'm saying about a time before me? And so here he was on this nice summer day wandering around town and eventually wandered into the ice cream shop. So he goes in and he sits down at a table, and eventually the waitress comes over to him and she asks him, young man, what can I get for you? And he looks up at her and he says, how much is an ice cream sundae? She looks at him and she says, 25 cents. So he reaches into his pocket and he pulls out his coins and he's looking at him. And eventually he looks up to the waitress that's getting a little impatient at this point. The foot's tapping. There's other tables to be helping. And he says, how much for just an ice cream scoop? She impatiently tells him, 20 cents. He's looking at his coins, and you can tell he's got a really tough decision that he's making. He's looking at these coins, and this waitress is just getting less and less patient with him. And finally he looks up at her, and he says, I'll take the scoop of ice cream. So off she goes and brings him his ice cream and goes to help the other customers and has really just forgotten about this boy. Well, eventually it comes time to clean the table where he's at, and she goes to pick up the ice cream dish, and what does she find sitting beside it but two dimes and a nickel, 25 cents. You see, that young boy, as he was sitting there with those coins, was trying to decide, does he get the sundae for himself? Or does he get the ice cream scoop and leave enough to give her a tip? And that young 10-year-old boy chose the ice cream and the tip. So this morning, I begin the widow's mite by letting us know that we each have dimes and nickels. And here's how it goes. The dimes are the things that fill our needs. And the nickels is what fills our wants. Our question this morning that we are going to ask ourselves is, what are we doing with our nickels? So as we go there, we go into the widow's mite. As we try to stir on this question of what we do with these nickels, that which allows us to take care of our wants. And here we go to Jesus. And Jesus and his disciples, they're in Jerusalem. This is after Palm Sunday. He's in his last push of ministry before he's arrested and crucified. And where are they sitting? But they're sitting in the temple court. And of all the places in the temple court, they're sitting across from the treasury, okay? Let me tell you this way. Jesus and his disciples, they're people watching, okay? And I love to people watch. And what are they people watching? But they're people watching people come and bring their offerings to the temple, okay? They're watching who comes. They're watching what kind of coins and how much is going in here. And they're sitting there and they're observing. And after observing the rich people coming, and then after this widow comes and drops these two minuscule copper coins, I mean, not even worth a penny, into the till, Jesus opens his mouth to his disciples, and he points out what's going on. He tells his disciples, basically, he says, you see all those rich people? All those rich people, they're putting a lot in there, but they're putting a lot out of the abundance that they have. I think of it like him saying, hey, that man just put in $20,000, but he's Bill Gates. He spends that on a Friday night dinner. But then he says, did you see that widow? That widow, she put in more than anybody else. Because what did she put in? She put in everything that she had, and she left herself nothing to live on. We so oftentimes interpret this scripture as Jesus lifting up this widow and saying, look at what a wonderful job she's done. As if the words in here are Jesus saying, look, we should do likewise. But we don't get those kinds of words. Jesus doesn't say, look how great she did. Jesus doesn't say, do as she did. And my insight into what Jesus might be thinking comes just verses before our reading this morning. For if we back up just four verses, Jesus is teaching his disciples and hear these words of our Savior. Watch out for the teachers of the law. They like to walk around in flowing robes and be greeted with respect in the marketplace. That's why I don't wear my robe in the marketplace, okay? And have the most important seats in the synagogues and the places of honor at banquets. Now hear this in verse 40. They devour widows' houses and for a show make lengthy prayers. These men will be punished most severely. Here, right before, he's criticizing the Pharisees and how they're taking advantage of the widows. And then what do we see here? But we see a widow out of faith, obedience, obligation, whatever it might be, is putting everything that she has. She's emptied her whole bank account, all of her savings, everything, and put it into the temple plate. And she has left nothing for herself to live on. This woman to this point was invisible. She was somebody that wasn't cared so much about what she put in there because all it was seen is that it wasn't very much and it really wasn't making a difference. But here Jesus makes the invisible visible. He says, they gave out of their abundance, but she gave all and now she has nothing to live on. What now is that widow supposed to do? So here's my question. When we think about stewardship, and as we look at the story of the widow's mite, is it really about the money? Here we have this widow, and she has so much faith in God that she's willing to put everything into that till. But what does that create? It creates a situation where this widow is now completely dependent on someone helping her out. She has faith in God that God is going to provide for her, that God is going to make sure that she is able to eat and have a roof over her head, that she will be taken care of. And the question comes at this point, and I could hear it in Jesus' head. She just gave everything. She now has nothing. Who's going to take care of her? So as we come to the stewardship question, we ask ourselves as the church, are we called to care for that widow? That one that's left with nothing, that has put complete faith in God. And now God's looking at us and saying, will you fulfill my promise to take care of her? So here we come with our dimes and our nickels. She's put the dimes in, and here we have a pocket full of nickels. We get to think about all of the wants we have. We get to think about all of the needs. And then we think about what we're going to do with it. And so oftentimes it seems like it's out of obligation. We write that check. We write that pledge card. We put it in the plate. And the question is, where's the state of our heart as we do that? And I went into 2 Corinthians as I was thinking about this. In 2 Corinthians in the 9th chapter, verses 6 and 7, say, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. This is illustrated so well as a pastor was talking about a time that he had with a new member of his church. a woman that he had joined, and he was wanting to check in with her and see how things were going for her, what she was thinking about the church. And so they sat down and began to talk, and she said, "Oh, I love this church. I love the people. I love the worship. It's a great place to be, and it really does feel like family." So I'm glad to hear about that. He said, is there things that you miss about your old church? And she said, "Yeah, I do miss my old church, and there's one thing I really miss in particular." And the pastor's thinking, all right, is it the potlucks? Is it the people? He could think about all these things. And he just about fell out of his seat when her response was, "I miss the offering in worship." "You miss the offering?" She said, "Yeah. In my old church, when it came time for the offering, it was the most joyful time of the service. The organist would play and the whole congregation would get up out of their seats and they would dance and they would sing and they would praise God and everybody would take their time and they would come up and with joy and singing and praise in their hearts, they would put their offering in for God. And we would celebrate this time of being able to give to God." And that's the image that comes to my mind when I hear the phrase that God loves a cheerful giver. It's not out of obligation that he wants us to give. It's not out of commitment that he wants us to give. He wants us to give out of joy and the experience that we have through it. How do I think about this? Well, I think about this in the dimes and the nickels. As I think about, you know, what do we do as a church? What do I do as a Christian? That's my stewardship, that's my giving, that's my managing of what God has done. And I think about being a young pastor, okay, when I was even younger. I know y'all think of me as so young now. But when I began in ministry, I knew what I was getting myself into. I knew that I was definitely not picking the highest paid jobs, and that's not why I was doing it. And it came to a shock in the system when I went to my first appointment. First of all, I was going from a full-time job to a half-time appointment as a student pastor and newly married. And so here it goes to a reduced salary and adjust the budget and figure out how things are going to go. But this church, the first one that I served, it was in a really tough economic area. It was really tough. And finances at that church were pretty horrendous. And all of a sudden, we were at a point where the renters in the parsonage weren't paying their rent. And when they weren't paying their rent, it meant the church couldn't pay my housing allowance, which was a significant chunk of my salary that I needed to live on. And I went 6 months without that housing allowance. And while we couldn't have that housing allowance and that money wasn't coming in, I was having to buy even the basic stuff, the toilet paper and paper towels and things for the church, and there wasn't money to reimburse. And all of a sudden, I got a real wake-up call on what my nickels were, of really having to readjust priorities of what it is that I really absolutely need and what really was a luxury, even though I'd grown up thinking it was one of the needs, one of the things that you're really supposed to have and you're obligated to be able to get. Today, I'm still working through this system, I'll admit. At this point, I look and, you know, you've probably been one of those if you've seen me. What do I have? But I have jeans, and almost all of my jeans have holes in the pockets. People like to point out, "Pastor Stacy, I think your phone's going to fall out." No, I know it's not going to fall out. The hole's not big enough. And people ask me, "Why don't you just go buy new jeans?" Well, because the jeans are on the want list. The hole in the pocket, they don't reveal anything. It just shows my phone. They're still good jeans. It's not in the budget to buy new jeans. To think about with the kids, they come to me with the flyers from school for the sculpting after school and chess club and these things. "Mom, we want to do these." And I love every time they bring home one of those flyers because we get to sit down and have the conversation about the budget and how much is in the budget, and then there's just not budget for the extra things, that those are the wants, not the needs. And it's tough to say no as a parent. It's tough to disappoint your kid. It's tough to see when they really want to do something and have to say no. It's tough to only take them on vacation because somebody else paid for the vacation. But it's realizing those wants and those needs that, you know, there's a roof over the head, there's food in the belly. Fortunately, I got a reliable car that's running right now. And I've sat and I've thought about it, and last year I upped my pledge. I'd been giving my tithe of 10%, and I upped it to 13% because I wanted to help with the sanctuary renovation loan that I hadn't been, because I hadn't been seeing it clearly enough. And I spend those days with the budget, and I spend those days with things tight, and it's like, well, you know, if I would just go down to the tithe, if I would just give up that 3%, there'd be a little bit more breathing room for some of these things. For some of these things that I'd like to be able to give to my kids. But then what happens? I come to church and I see this worship. I hear the voices of praise. I sit in Bible study and I hear the gospel being revealed. I have people that come into the office and they need a place to sleep because they slept the night before on a park bench. And I have the ability to drive them over to the Plaza Hotel and put them in for a night. I see the children. Oh, I'm so excited about Children's Sabbath. To see them growing up in this church, to see their excitement, to see what's happening in our Sunday school program, to see the fellowship, to see people coming in and falling in love with this church. And I think, how could I desire to take a penny from that? Because I know where my nickels are. And I know where I want to keep those nickels. And it's with joy that I support the ministry of this church. It's with joy that I see what's happening and I'm able to say, I help with that. Not only with my pledge, I help with that with my time. I help with that with my heart. I help with that with the tears that are shed on some days because I see how good God is. So at the end of the day, we ask ourselves some questions. Because it's true, we are called through faith and obedience to joyfully give in such a way that we care for the physical and spiritual needs of those around us, even those that seem invisible. The invisibles, those widows, they walk through this church. Whether it's Sunday morning, whether it's during the week when they have need, whether it's during the outreach lunch, they walk through here. And because this church is here, they're able to be touched by God to care for their physical and spiritual needs because of each one of us being the body of Christ that helps with that. So now we ask the question, how do we recognize our nickels? And how do we desire to make a sacrifice to use them for God's work? Is there something that's on that wants list? That we keep thinking's on the needs list, but really it's on the wants list. And maybe it's an I don't need this, because I joyfully know how God can use this instead. My friends, will you pray with me? God, I have such a desire to lift to you the struggle of sacrifice. To tell you about what it is that we desire to give up for you. But it's hard to say that with your communion table sitting here. To realize that when it says the widow gave all, her all is nothing compared to what you gave with your son on the cross. We thank you for giving all to us, for sacrificing all, but also giving us all that we have today. And so we ask that you help to open up our hearts and our minds, to see our giving with a different perspective, to see the joy in what we are able to do for you and with you, to be able to see how you are blessing people around us because of the sacrifices that we make. And may our day be made because of it. For God, you are so good to us, and we give you our humble and heartfelt thanks. Amen.